special success. Welcome, one and all, to another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question apparently. There are occasions on this show, in fact they seem to be happening more regular than often because for some reason my somewhat fabulous producer is just so marvelous that he manages to get the people who are, in my opinion, some of the greatest minds that walk the earth today, some of the greatest talents, and some of the most experienced and certainly honorable individuals that this earth has ever produced. This is, of course, just my opinion, based upon the fact that I'm a talk radio junkie. Now, for those of you who are unaware of George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM, he has been in the radio industry for a very long time and has an immense amount of knowledge into the, well, basically the comings and goings of the world, because Coast to Coast AM has between something like 19 or 29 million listeners a night, some 5 nights a week when George is hosting, and he interviews the most incredible people, is always so humble and has such grace that we just had to get him on the show. And in my understanding, he's there on the line. George, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Vinnie, my pleasure to be on the program with you. And I got to tell you, your executive producer, Mitch, is phenomenal. I'm going to try to steal him away from you. I mean, he doesn't let go. He says, we want you on this program. And he wouldn't take no for an answer.
That sounds exactly like my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel.
Absolutely. And by the way, I hope everybody down in your neck of the woods, that they're all doing well following all the catastrophic weather conditions that you've had down there over the last several months. We've had a lot of them here in this country, too, specifically in the Midwest. I broadcast between Los Angeles and St. Louis in the United States, so I'm constantly going back and forth. And I was in St. Louis a few months ago when a tornado almost literally took out the St. Louis International Airport, and then I came back to Los Angeles, and of course we had that tragedy in Joplin, Missouri that took so many lives. But I trust everybody in New Zealand is patching their lives back in order.
Well, it is as everybody reacts to a disaster, the community suddenly becomes a lot closer, don't you think? We forget about each other almost entirely and, almost pretend that there's nobody there. But when a disaster happens, suddenly everybody pours out of their houses and becomes a massive support network that blossoms out of nothing.
You're right, Vinny. Even more so than governments. I think governments sometimes are at a loss at how to take care of people during tragedies. We saw what happened during Hurricane Katrina here in the United States. And government just was not prepared for this. They did not know what to do, and hopefully they've learned lessons from that. FEMA reacted a little quicker when the tornadoes hit in the Midwest a few weeks ago. But I think most support will come from your neighbors, you know, people who can pick up and help you and band together as almost like family. And I think that's what's going to happen on this planet in the years to come as we face so many other large potential catastrophes. I think it's going to be your neighbors, your friends, people who will congregate together that will be there for all of us during what I sadly believe will be some tough times.
Well, I think it's the solution to the largest problems are always with the smallest thought, and the smallest community can make the biggest difference. And in my opinion, I think that's the power of the human spirit, is we can overtake and override any cacophony of simultaneous crises that is being thrown at us. I mean, to my mind, we currently have the oil price crisis, and it's just a manipulated price, so let's not talk about a shortage just yet. and we have the massive derivatives financial mega crisis, We have the Libyan crisis, the Japanese Fukushima nuclear crisis, which is soon going to escalate into a cancer crisis worldwide, as currently virtually the entire Pacific is now contaminated. We have the food shortage crisis to add to that. During the massive fires and floods around the Pakistan-Russia area, that's a lot of wheat and a lot of rice that is no longer on the market. All the freeze-dried food major manufacturers are on something like 8-month waiting lists, you know, for major orders, you know, and this turns out to be the plan of the globalist all along, to make sure that there is so much chaos coming at all of us from every conceivable direction that it paralyzes us. And in my opinion, when you're in that situation where you're being attacked from every direction, you have to adopt a tactical approach, and I call it the tactic of the cactus. You cover yourself with spines, small communities, patriots in those communities, and that way whenever an enemy attack comes in on you, you can attack back, okay? Hitler didn't win World War II because he fought a war on two fronts. You know, nobody can win a war on two fronts. And the New World Order is trying to fight a war with the whole of humanity. So they're going to be fighting a war on a billion fronts.
And what's even more difficult, Vinny, is trying to determine who that enemy is. During World War I, World War II, you knew who the enemies were. They were nations. But nowadays, you don't know who they are. We don't know exactly who these New World Order folks are. We have our suspicions. But we don't see how they react. You know, we said a long time ago on our program, Coast to Coast AM, that if terrorism went away, that those that are trying to take over factions of this planet, they would create terrorism just to keep us at edge. And so that's what's so difficult about all this. It's trying to pinpoint who they are, when they're going to strike, what their little plan is next in order to create chaos on this planet. Chaos that we see every day, as you just pointed out.
Well, it's like when you think that there's nothing to worry about, they'll make something for you to worry about. Because as soon as everybody suddenly feels calm and at peace and happy and they're not stressed out and afraid anymore, they start thinking, are these scumbags running my government or what?
They want us to get down on our knees and beg them to protect us. They want us to be able to say, we need you, save us, please, get us food, get us water, get us shelter, protect us from the evil empires. And if they think they can put us in that position, they have us. We'll go along our merry way, we'll go to work, we'll come home, we'll watch our telly, we'll listen to the radio, and we won't create waves. And that's the position they want to get all of us in. And they're doing a pretty good job trying to do that. One of the things we continue to battle about on our radio program every night is it's not all what you think. And not everything's a conspiracy, believe me. But there are a lot of things going on in this planet that are unexplainable, that are manipulative, and we try to keep an eye out for it. And thank God we've been able to keep doing it.
Yeah, my opinion is that not everything's a conspiracy, just most things.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. So you always have to be aware of it. And I've always told myself, who benefits when something happens? Regardless of what it is, always look at who benefits, and then you might be able to come up with a pretty good idea of how it started, what created it.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty seems to me is that people, for some reason, they look to others for solutions. And in my opinion, when you talk about solutions of a global scale, again, thinking smaller, the solution stares you in the mirror every morning when you have a shave.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We need to take care of our own situation. We need to create our own little islands, take care of the people we care about, and hopefully that'll start branching out. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But until then, you cannot depend on government. You cannot depend on these other organizations or groups because they have their own mindset. They know what they want to do. And the best way of taking care of yourself, whether it's in a crisis situation or anything, is just to be prepared and to be smart about it. And I've always advised people, you know what? It's not unwise to have some storable food on hand, to have some drinking water put away, to have some supplies put away to last you for a few weeks or a month. We're all in this together. There's no doubt about that. But be prepared a little bit. Be smart about things. And be aware. Be aware of episodes that are still occurring. Here we are in Afghanistan, still in the United States. Here we are in Iraq. Our mission was to go in and get Osama bin Laden. Well, apparently we did now, 10 years later. Why are we still there? I just don't understand it.
Is there any reason why we went in there in the first place is more my question. And now that the CIA seems to have found a great place to grow copious quantities of heroin poppies, and the U.S. soldiers are photographed guarding these fields because, oh, if we don't grow and ship the heroin, the enemy might.
There's no question.
The Taliban
was once the Mujahideen, an organization we supported years ago to get the Soviets out of Afghanistan. Well, afterwards, what were so-called friends became friends no longer, and this problem started, and then bin Laden, of course, went to Afghanistan, and they started protecting him and al-Qaeda, and this entire mess started. I mean, I still have questions, for example, about 9/11, who exactly was responsible for it. I'm pretty sure bin Laden was part of it. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I think there were others involved with him that wanted to create this mess, this chaos that we're all in. We still here in this country find it very strange and unusual that they never showed the body. They dumped it at sea very quickly. There's just a lot of things that just don't sound right. And what's so amazing about people, Vinny, is they forget. They forget very fast. And, I mean, here we are. We've been in Iraq since 2003. We've been in Afghanistan since 2001. And not a lot of people in this country are upset about that. It's almost as if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And, you know, if you don't know what's going on 3 miles from where you live, unless you haven't been told about it, you don't know what's going on. And that's what's happening with these wars. Most people in the United States are unaffected by it. Most people don't even know any soldiers that are over there giving their lives for this. And until people really realize, you know what, folks, we're still over there. Our mission was to go get bin Laden. We did now. Why are we still there? So it just, to me, sounds like there's another purpose. There's a bigger thing going on, whether it's to get the Iraqi oil, whether it's to control other certain strategic areas of this planet. There's much more going on than the original intent that we were all told about a long time ago. When we went into Iraq in 2003, weapons of mass destruction. We've got to take Saddam Hussein out, whom this country supported a long time ago when he was at battle with the Iranians and everything else. And you know what? We're still there. It just doesn't make sense.
A land of perpetual war. It's very 1984.
It came a little late, but you're right. George Orwell would be turning over in his grave right now. If he could see what was happening, he'd say, I knew it. I knew it. He was just way ahead of his time. That's all.
Well, perhaps instead, this plan has been laid out for a very, very long time, since long before the works of George Orwell, and he was simply trying to warn everybody about what was planned.
If there's a plan, and I'm pretty sure there is, there's no question that it was sketched out many, many, many years ago. These things just don't happen. These are blueprints, and blueprints are schematics of buildings of life, and that's exactly what happened. These architects of the future paved this thing out. They sketched it out. They designed it. They knew when they were going to implement certain things, and they're doing it. It's almost like a playbook for a football game. The coach knows exactly what he's going to do next, and that's what they're doing to us.
Well, and that's why so many red flags get raised. Whenever some media spectacle, it doesn't matter what the media spectacle is, comes up on the television, I am instantly suspicious. For example, the May 1st apocalypse. I thought to myself, PSYOP.
Well, of course, now it's been moved to October 21st. So who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Of course it has.
and we find out things that families have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to these organizations. The money's gone. They're upset. They don't know why they weren't raptured away. And, you know, darn if they're not doing it all over again. I mean, it's criminal. It really is.
Well, it's criminal. It's in fact, we had a show yesterday about psychopathy and what's inside the mind of a psychopath. How they cannot be trusted to do anything right at all, because even if you strike an alliance with them, they will still betray you. They will still take everything from you. And the American Medical Journal says that the kind of psychopaths that are running the country or whatever seem to be concentrated in business, media, and politics. Now, you've been in the media field for quite some time. How many people have you met that have these symptoms? Very nice and personable when you meet them, but has no real depth to their character and no real long-lasting relationships.
They are professionals at what they do, Vinny. They know how to manipulate. They know how to sell. They know how to wheel people in, and that's what they do. And it's very difficult for us, when you meet them, to say, hey, that's one of these Illuminati types, or that's one of these New World Order folks. But they're out there. They're out there all the time. And I think we all need to be very aware of just what's going on and what the effort is to control all of us.
Indeedy doody. These are the most important questions that you have to be asking, ladies and gentlemen. My very special, remarkable, and quite frankly, this is the best day of my life, guest George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one like me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There's nobody like you, and there's nobody like me. We're all perfect, unique representations of ourselves, experiencing everything subjectively through a fabulous fishbowl vision gets distorted through mainstream media. And isn't it nice to know that they care so much about how our condition progresses that they would spend hundreds of billions of dollars on fake newscasts and a BS spreading out all over the airwaves, which they've turned into things that you have to pay for. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. This being the day of the most fabulous guest I've ever had on the show, George Norrie's appearance. Like one of those people who you need to make up a title for, like Sir or Grandmaster of the Microphone, George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back from break.
Vinny, just plain old George is good enough for me. That's all. I have, in all my years of broadcasting, when I started at 19, I realized at a very early age that some of the most successful broadcasters were the ones that treated their listeners, their audience, their viewers like people. And you never look down to people. Respect them. When we take phone calls from listeners, I give them their fair shake. They don't get screamed at. They don't get hung up on. And it's made a huge difference to the program. Right now, we are on 545 radio stations in North America. We're on XM Satellite. We stream worldwide by going to coasttocoastam.com for a little less than 25 cents a day, which covers our bandwidth costs. And it's growing. Like you said, the audience level, it's in the millions every day. And people are just looking at us. They're looking at shows like yours for the truth. That's all they want. They want nothing more, nothing less. They just want people to tell them the truth, and we can handle it. It was that old Jack Nicholson movie where he said, you can't handle the truth. I think people can once they're told what's going on. we're finding out every day that people have their own belief systems. They just want to be told the truth. They're tired of being lied to by government.
Well, that is a universal concept. Because in my experience, being from New Zealand, the other side of the world, the exact same things that are going on in America that all patriots are concerned about, a violation of constitutional rights, all these draconian laws being put in, police state measures, the same things are happening here in New Zealand. And in some cases, like the search and surveillance bill, it is almost word for word what's in the Patriot Act.
No, there's no question. Of course, our Patriot Act was just extended again. So, you know, we're stuck with that thing for a while. And, you know, just everything just seems to be changing and being whittled away. There's a tremendous uproar now about the body scanners that we have in this country. I don't know. Do you have them out that way? Where they
We only just had them introduced, and the person who syndicates my show in the South Island of New Zealand, he called me up in a panic saying, Vinny, did you hear about this? Is this true? And had a look at it. Sure enough, now we've got naked body scanners in New Zealand, which has never had a terrorism attack. In fact, the biggest terrorist incident we had here was perpetrated by the police on a town of not less than 2,000 people when they arrested and broke in the Dawn raids.
Somebody had sent me an email calendar of Miss Airport of 2012, and every month they had a skeleton of a woman just standing around posing as if they had gone through these machines. It was hilarious. I think what people need to realize, if you fly a lot and you go through these a lot, you have the potential of getting some kind of radiation poisoning. I mean, it's just a matter of time before your body accumulates too much. Yeah, you've ever noticed, for example, when you go to a doctor's office or to the dentist and they have to x-ray your body or your mouth, they run out of the room pretty darn fast, and they don't come back until the machine stops working. Yeah, you know what? That tells you something just there.
When you think about it, how many things are there currently in existence that people do in their daily lives that are poisonous? When you really think about it, is there anything in your daily life that you use or do that isn't poisonous?
I think when you wake up and start breathing in the morning, Vinny, it's poisonous. I mean,
you're still asleep.
It's everywhere. You've got to be careful what you drink. I'm opposed to the fluoride that we put in the water here in the United States, even though now the government has said we've got a little too much in it. Let's start reducing it. Those things have to be changed. We still have a tremendous dispute about what chemtrails might be. These are things that jets are, dropping down on people from above. Some people say, it's only just, contrails from jets, not to worry. Other people say, no, there's something else going on. It's weather manipulation, or they're spraying us for some reason. Who knows? What I do know is you wake up in the morning, if it's a clear sky day, by the end of the afternoon, the place looks like a tic-tac-toe board everywhere. So something's going on. People just are too suspicious of everybody, and there's good reason to be.
Well, suspicion is healthy in a certain way, especially if you're being lied to, especially if you're being conned. Suspicion can save you from being ripped off. Suspicion can save you from being imprisoned. Because when you think about it, not only are our environments totally toxic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're ingesting some kind of poison that's been injected into our environment for some auspicious and very utilitarian reason. And when I think about it, it's not only that, but because the population itself is ingesting all these poisons, George, I think that they have become toxic to other people as well. Now, in your experience, do you experience a lot of discrimination or haranguing or any of that really negative feedback that comes from when you tell the truth and tell it at a very large level as you do on Coast to Coast?
Not on the program. Most of our listeners and the tremendous majority of our callers are very supportive of the issues that we handle on the program. And they are believers that, you know, under every rock there's a mystery. And so they are not that suspicious of the program at all. What they are suspicious of are the things we talk about, because they don't trust many things, whether it's from government, corporations, you name it. They just don't trust it. And let me tell you something, Vinny, for good reason. I mean, we've been lied to. We've been used since the beginning of time. And the problem with all that is, it's like the story of the boy who cried wolf. He cries wolf so many times that when a real problem arises, people don't believe him. And I think that's going to be the case here, for example. I don't think people believe that, for example, the H1N1 virus that they scared the world about a few years ago, that it was going to be a pandemic, which ended up being nothing. If this planet truly gets hit with a virus, and, for example, in Europe right now, they're scratching their heads over this E. coli situation, and they have no idea where it's coming from, vegetables or what. But if a real episode occurs on this planet, people aren't going to believe them anymore, and that's a tragedy.
That kind of sounds a lot like when, was it H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds, when it was broadcast on radio? It was a great psyop because they realized that everybody just sat there glued to the television, glued to the radio for the information. And when you think back, 9/11, what were you doing on 9/11 after you found out? What were you glued to?
Everybody was glued to the television. They were locked in or turning to the radio to hear news and information. They were in awe. They were in shock. They panicked. They didn't know what would happen. And people were scared. And again, I think that's so important for people to realize that, you know, if you've been misled, just be aware, because there could be some real episodes that occur and you just need to be ready for it. The one thing I've always said, Vinny, we're all in this together. I mean, we're not alone. And this planet now is so small technologically, we're all interconnected. I mean, something could happen here in Los Angeles, you'll know about it where you are in an instant. That never happened before. That was unheard of. Now, when Michael Jackson died, the world knew about it within minutes. And that'll happen again if there's another tragedy.
It seems that when we talk about the news, have you noticed how it's almost tragedy after tragedy in 30-second segments, and now this tragedy, and now that tragedy, and you forgot what was the last tragedy that we went through? So your entire life is just a mere experience watching television of tragedies that you forget and watch them repeat.
I used to tell an old news director of mine when I was in my early 20s, why do we always lead with these tragedies? Why do we always lead with, you know, problems? Why don't we ever have a story at the top of our newscast about something good that happened during the day, something wonderful that happened? And he said, well, because that's not news. And he moved on. Well, later on in life, as I got to be old enough to run some of my own TV stations and things, we changed that a little bit. And you know what? A funny thing happened. Our viewers liked it. Our ratings started going up. People wanted wholesome information, of course, but they also wanted to feel good about themselves and about the day. So we started doing a lot more things like that, stories that would affect people in a positive way, whether it was their health or their own ability to do things subconsciously. We started doing a lot of that, and that has been the evolution of this program. We'll handle the tragedies, of course. You have to. You know, we're a news organization as well as a talk show. But we'll also do a lot of things that will affect people, whether it's spirituality, life after death. I've got a book coming out with my co-author, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, in October called Talking to the Dead, about the ability of technology to eventually deal, and there's some stuff out there now that they claim does work, to communicate with people who've passed on. And what a wonderful thing one day if we had the real capability of turning on some kind of an apparatus to talk to our good old grandmother who died. and just say, what's it like over there? And have her talk back to you. Energy is the same, and it never leaves. And lots of things going on in this universe that I find fascinating. But that's what we've done. We've evolved the program to deal with a lot of these subjects, and it touches people's nerves. And, you know, you have to judge your barometer of success not by money, but by your audience. And ours continues to grow.
Well, therefore, you seem to be, in my opinion, on the cutting edge of what radio should have been doing for the last 30 years. But instead, what's been happening is larger corporations have been amalgamating and vacuous, know-nothing tramps, more or less, appear to be the quote-unquote mainstream media. But the problematic thing with that is that their approval ratings are so low and their viewer numbers are so low in comparison to the shows that are getting out true, real information. And indeed, you're officially, what, the second, or have you surpassed Rush Limbaugh now as the most popular talk radio show host in America?
Well, I'd love to say we're the most popular, but in terms of size, we're the second largest affiliated radio show in the country, right under Rush. And, you know, we keep growing at the rate of 5 stations every month or so. And you know what? If we keep this pace up, one day we will be number one and surpass them. And then we'll let the world know that in a big way. But I'll let you in on a secret, Vinny, on what I've done to program this program and why it has worked so well. I talk to people. Wherever I go, whether it's a speaking engagement or out to a restaurant or out to a nightclub or whatever I do when I'm not working on my weekend, I will get feedback from people on what's going on in their life. And that's how I program the show. So if somebody tells me, you know what, I'm getting my house foreclosed on next week, I don't know what to do, that ends up being a topic. If another person says, my best friend just died last week, I don't know if he's on the other side or not, that becomes a topic. And so I've let people program the program, and they did it without even knowing about it.
It's the chair without a craftsman.
Exactly.
What I find it is that if you allow things to happen as they happen, they go off really, really well because it feels natural and organic. And believe it or not, I truly believe that that's exactly what people want. People want a place where they can feel happy, respected, and even intimate. And that's what I find about your interviews with some of these brilliant people, George, is that the conversations are very intimate, like two old friends sitting down over a cup of coffee and talking about what they think is most important in the world to them at that moment.
You know, for the first 15 minutes or so during an interview with someone that I generally have never met, you're absolutely right. I want to talk to them about their life, what they do, what their likes are, their dislikes. I think it gives the audience a better feel for who we're talking to. And I joke with them, and we kid, and we do some silly things. And, you know, it makes them at ease. They're not as stilted as they would normally be on a different kind of a program. And it works for me. And, you know, and then we evolve into why they're on and what the story is, and it flows, and we take phone calls from listeners, and it flows real well. It's a four-hour live program every night. Most stations run it for 5 hours, so it's pretty intense.
And speaking of pretty intense, you've got some intense advertisements coming up right now, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit ahead. history repeating. And welcome back
to the show that's all about a little bit of history repeating. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. On this show, we try to give coverage to all of those voices that normally get censored out of the mainstream media. Those whose researchers and activists who spend their lives researching, debating, and getting into the real ugly issues, and some of the real bright ones too, to bring the real story to you. My very special guest is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back from break, George.
Thank you, Vinny. Good to be with you. And how quickly the time flies, huh?
Well, as the old saying goes, time flies when you're having fun. And this is something that when you described how the way that you ran your show and the way that it became so successful is because you kind of give a platform to all of these great people and you're trying to be friendly with them. And basically, that's it sounded like you were describing the way I'm running my show. You have to have fun and you have to make people feel special because they are. And so many people are hard on themselves and they get a lot of criticism and sometimes they just really want to just reveal themselves to the world and not want to be judged for it. That's when you get the best stories out of people, I think.
Absolutely. Vinny, we will make people laugh. We'll make people think. We'll make people cry. We'll make people engaging. It's all of the above and much more. And you know where I'm coming from. You're doing the same thing on your radio program. You need to just touch the nerves of people, common people on this planet who have the same goal. And let me tell you what that goal is. It is to enjoy your life, enjoy the people you love, and to at least have some fun doing it. That's all we want. Nothing more, nothing less. And prepare yourself, if you believe in the hereafter, so you can be a good person. You don't have to be particularly religious. I'm more spiritual than religious. I was raised a Catholic. I haven't been to Catholic church in years, but I believe in God, and I'm good to people. And that's all that really matters. And, you know, if you put all these ingredients together, you'll have a happy life. Yes, we're human beings. We are subject to the ups and downs in life. You'll get sick, you won't feel good, you know, bad lady luck will run against you sometimes, but I think if you can continue to pick yourself up, keep moving forward, and just don't stop and never look back, you'll be fine. You know, learn from your mistakes. Making mistakes, that's healthy as far as I'm concerned, but just keep going and keep going the right way, and your life will change dramatically for that. I've seen it happen to people who are skeptics, who are doubters. They started changing, and they are as happy now in their life as they've ever been. I'll tell you a funny story of a guy who called me on my local show when I was doing it back in 1998 in St. Louis, Missouri. He called me up one day and said, you know what? I was getting very close to committing suicide. I was done. You know, I had a lousy job. I had just broken up with my girlfriend. Things weren't going well for me, and so I got in a car, and I just didn't know where I was going to contemplate going, where I was going to die, where I was going to kill myself. So I kept driving and driving and driving. I must have driven 100 miles, George, and I saw this little pond on the side of the freeway, and I saw ducks coming in and out of it. So I decided, you know what, that's a great place to do this. So I pulled over on the side of the road. I was sitting on this little bench watching the ducks, and a little old man came by. He was wearing coveralls, and he sat down next to me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't do myself in with this guy here. But we kept talking, and he was talking to me about his life, and he was asking me questions about mine, and I told him, and he fixed it. He helped me with my life. He just made me more inspired, and I got back in my car. And back I went to my hometown. I got a new job. I got a new relationship. I got healthy. I started eating well. I dropped some weight. and I feel great about myself. And I'm calling you right now, George, to tell you my life has changed 100%. I decided to go back into that town about a year later and thank that old man. I never got his last name. So I went to this town barbershop. I figure it's a little tiny city of 1,000 people. It's the only barbershop. The old guy's got to go there. I walk in and I ask the barber, hey, there was this old guy I met about a year ago. And, you know, I want to meet him again. I have to thank him. I didn't get his last name. This was his first name. The barber said, hey, go to the top of the hill. There's a little white house there. Go talk to his daughter. And, you know, George, he said, by the way the barber was talking to me, I thought something had happened, but I went up to the house. I knocked on the door, and some girl came, and I said, excuse me, but I just wanted to talk to your father because, you know, he saved my life about a year ago. And before I was even able to say anything else, she stopped me, and she said, you know what? You're the fifth person to come up here and tell me that about my dad. He died 15 years ago. And it was so chilling, the way he said that. It just stopped me in my tracks. And I realized at that time that life is just so precious to enjoy every moment of it. And that's what we try to convey on the program every day.
Now, you got given, speaking of acts of God or great fortune, whatever you want to call it, the legendary Art Bell handpicked you to host Coast to Coast AM. How did it feel at that moment?
It was an interesting situation. And I tell you, when you talk about the use of the subconscious, I first heard Art in 1996. And I said to myself, gosh, one day when I grow up, I'd like to be able to fill in for that guy and do that program. A couple years later, after concentrating on Art and the people and the show, I got a call from the person who was running the program, and he said, look, Art's going on vacation. Would you like to do some fill-in work? We've heard all about you. You're doing similar shows. We've heard your tapes. And I said, of course. So I started filling in for Art, Vinny, on a regular basis. His health started to drastically change. I started doing more programs than I ever thought I would, still doing my local show in St. Louis as well. So many nights I was on the air for 8 or 9 hours live, locally and on the network. And then one day back in 2002, Art decided he was going to quit, and I took over full-time that January of 2003. And so it's been 11 years plus, and I'm just going to keep going until one day I come back from a commercial and my producer says, George has passed on. He's not with us anymore.
We'll be right back.
That's right. That's the way I want to go out.
Yeah, absolutely. Go out to the thunderous applause of your listeners. But this is the thing. When you are, in the position where you really can do some good in this world by getting out information. We had a contact from one of our listeners that said that they were going to commit suicide, and then they heard my show, and everything changed.
And it is one of the greatest feelings, and you know that if you can help one person by doing what you do on the air, everything else is worth it. Everything you go through, the time, the hours, the sacrifices you make. You know, I'm on late night, and you have to make a lot of sacrifices for not being with family, what it does to a relationship. But when you're able to help at least one person and truly know that in your heart, all the things that you go through in your personal life are worth it.
It's absolutely true. When I started on American Freedom Radio, I was on it from 3 till 5 a.m. in the morning, and it was terrible for my partner. So, you know, it's like you're doing the dream, and when you're living your dreams, you don't need much sleep.
No, you don't. And then, I know a lot of people in the military listen to us, our program, and I'm sure they hear yours too. I spent 9 years in the Navy. I do want to say that our fighting men and women across this planet are just doing a magnificent job. I wish, of course, politicians weren't controlling as much as they are. But as far as our soldiers are concerned, as we just came off of a Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, without them, I would not be around to be able to talk to you freely on this radio, on this telephone. And we owe them all a gratitude.
And observing Memorial Day, when I remember the fallen that have fallen over there, as is the expression, it's just kind of this arrogant, it's not here, so it must be somewhere else that I can't name or locate on a map for a lot of Americans. And that's the problem that we have in our society, is that when we lose our loved ones, when we see death and destruction, it's always somewhere else. And we don't realize that it's because of us that it happens. God doesn't make the world this way. We do. Via our apathy or via allowing the evildoers to go unchecked, we are to blame and we have to be responsible. My very special guest is George Norrie, and we'll be right back after these very short messages. Back in a moment. Check us out at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com, our fabulous archives there. Also, join us in the chat room. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about unity, respect, and laughing away at hilarious items like psychopathy and genocide. My very special guest, who I'm just, you know, drastically honored to have, but is by all accounts, just an average guy who's just very nice and pleasant. His name's George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Welcome, Brake.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really... my party line is I'm borderlining on fabulous. So remember in this election, vote fabulous. And when we talk about the elections, we talk about the opinions of the public. And I also wanted to just throw open the phone lines here. Apparently we've only got you for one more segment, George. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call into the show, now is the time. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. That's 402-237-2525. Now, a personal inquiry, George. There was an incident with Alex Jones, where you managed to get somewhat, shall we say, moist. The question is, did he push you? I'm pretty sure you know the video that I'm talking about.
Was this the one that he was, the one that he did about a year and a half ago? He's in so many. This was the one coming out of Austin, Texas. No, I'm convinced my producer Tom did that, not Alex. And I was in Austin, Texas. I had a speech, and then I did my radio show out of there because it was convenient. Alex was my guest, and as we were leaving after the program, they took me through the back door, primarily because, you know, always a lot of people kind of congregate outside. And, you know, at 3 or 4 in the morning, you just want to get back to your hotel room. It had been raining pretty extensively that night while we were on the air, and they also had their sprinklers on. So there was a puddle that I thought was about an inch deep across the sidewalk that I tippy-toed away. And as I did, I fell into a 2-foot hole full of water. and I fell over and popped back up. You can see it on YouTube, by the way. If you just type in Nori, N-O-O-R-Y, Nori Falls, you'll see a seven-second clip of me going into this puddle.
Yeah, yeah, and there was a lot of suspicion and speculation about that. It's just one of the more amusing side issues of being a talk radio show. Is sometimes you end up in 2 feet of water.
Perhaps my producer and Alex were in cahoots to do me in. You never know.
You never know where the cahoots may lie. And when we there was a question that I wanted to get you. There was an old Art Bell episode where there was a frantic caller from Area 51. And so a question I wanted to ask from Shepard Ambellis from the Intel Hub. Did you hear about that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I've got the tape. I play it on the air every once in a while. This was a person who was in an airplane flying above Area 51 and mysteriously just disappeared afterward. And the phone went dead, and Art was there going, hello, hello. But it was about an 11-minute phone call of this person who was in a small airplane, and he said he was going to fly over Area 51 with Art telling him, don't do it, don't do it. But who knows what happened on that one?
Well, isn't that the measure of a good conspirator? Is somebody who can make you have only that question.
That's right.
Who knows?
Create the doubt.
And that's what it happens.
That's kind of what they're doing to us right now, isn't it?
Do you think they're trying to facilitate doubt in each other? But I don't think that's right. I think I have tremendous faith in humanity, and I think that if we're going to beat whatever evil forces, you know, or indefinable, nameless, shapeless evils sitting in their Eiffel Towers in Mordor or something here in New Zealand, it seems to be that it's on the points we agree that we should come together and collaborate against our common foe rather than do all this infighting, George.
No, there's no doubt about that. But as you well know, Vin, it's human nature for infighting. And, you know, they position one against the other. And as long as they can keep people on their toes, on their edge of their chairs, they're going to keep doing that to us. So people need to be aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, the priority for me is happiness, okay? Just to have fun, okay? Because if you're not having fun in your life, it means that you're doing something wrong, or something wrong is being done to you. And people don't realize that sitting at home watching television, drinking beer, isn't fun. What's really fun is ambushing your prime minister with a camera at a telethon and asking him why he's in support of world government, as I've done. What's really fun is going to a protest and ambushing Lucy Lawless, my own cousin, about the BS behind climate change. That's entertainment.
Well, see, you're a news hound. You enjoy that, and you love getting the spontaneity out of people. I do, too. And, you know, most people, of course, don't have that luxury that we have to be able to go into these events and to interview the kinds of people that we do. And so, you know, that's it. What they do, it's a diversion. Television is a diversion. Sports, that's a diversion to keep people calm, to keep people in check. And they have done it brilliantly in order to keep people occupied.
It indeed works on a physical level, even. After 30 seconds of watching a television that has, I think, about 52 frame refreshes per second, the conscious mind is no longer capable of understanding what it sees, and it goes from the alpha waves, which are the analytical and the logical left side of the brain, to beta waves, which are a semi-conscious, suggestible state. You are literally, when you watch television, becoming mind-controlled.
Remember the movie Network with Peter Finch playing the part of Howard Beale, where he was this anchorman talking about the world and world events, and he so eloquently put it, simply give us our television, give us our radial tires, give us our toaster, and please just leave me alone in my house. Leave me alone. And I think that's what most people want. They just want to be left alone.
We're talking about people of modest means. Now, we have a caller here on the line, George.
All right, let's take one, Vinny, and then I've got to run off to another event here in the United States that I'm going to be late for. So let's go ahead.
Extremely. Thank you for your time. Caller in area code 541, you're on the air with George Norrie. Welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Hey, Vinny, how's it going? It's Shepard from the IntelHub.com.
Hey, welcome, Shep. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Just wanted to ask George about that old Art Bell caller, the Area 51 caller. What do you think about that?
Well, Shepard, that we just talked about that, and it was a strange call that I think occurred on April 1st of some year. So yeah. I don't know if it was real or not. But it was sure entertaining to listen to about this guy flying over Area 51.
Yeah, and then some guy called in like a month or two after that and claimed to be that caller, but he didn't really quite sound like the guy. Did you catch that episode?
Yeah, the guy I heard on the Area 51 call sounded a little older, a little crustier than the other person who called in, as you said,
right.
About a month later. I agree.
Right. Yeah. Well, interesting. I just wanted to get your take on that. And also, have you heard about this secret chemtrail budget that we exposed?
No, tell me about that.
It's the USGCRP, the United States Global Change Research Program. And, you can just Google that. And, you'll find it or go on the IntelHub.com. But, very interesting article, and it's worthy of, checking out. I just wanted to see if you heard of it.
Okay, we will. We'll check into that as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for all the hard work that you do. The IntelHub.com, ladies and gentlemen, to check out the best breaking news from the Civilian Intelligence Network. Thanks for dropping by, Shep. We love you, man. Okay. And now, George, I wanted to end the show today on a lighted note. Now, what are some of the most life-changing, in a positive way, experiences that you've had as the host of Coast to Coast? What's one of your most favorite stories and words of wisdom for the audience that may not have heard you before?
The one I just mentioned some time ago about the individual whose life was changed, that was one. They all are, Vinny. When real callers call, whether they're nurses, policemen, folks at home, security guards, people from all walks of life, relaying their kinds of stories that have affected them, someone who is drowning in the water, he sees a hand pull down through the water and grab him and pull him up, only to find there's nobody else out there when he's back breathing on shore. Just episodes like that. Or a lady who claims an angel helped her lift her son, who was trying to commit suicide by hanging himself in his garage. And she was able to lift him up and scream for help, and somebody came and helped get him down. Stories like that, I think, I remember forever. And, of course, there was one of a woman who came back and said that her husband never is late when he comes home from work. Never. And she said he was abducted by aliens when he finally came home. And he was sweaty and nervous. And I said, oh, really, what else happened? She said, these aliens, they stole his wedding ring. Well, those are things you just never forget, Vinny.
Well, they probably wanted something to remind them of their visit to Saturn.
Or he came up with one great excuse.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, there is a tall tale to tell you, Mrs. Honey, I lost the wedding ring, and I swear it was aliens.
You got it. And she believed it.
Well, he must love her very, very much.
Let's hope so.
Now, that's the thing about it, though. You got to smile and you got to love people around you, because I feel that if you surround yourself and uh, with people of like mind who are all just yes men, you wind up becoming so full of yourself that you don't have any external experiences that really help you to grow as an individual, as we really must do. Personally, I try to talk to, hang out with, and associate with almost exclusively those people who inspire me. People like yourself, George, who have done incredible things in their lives, who have amazing stories to tell, and most certainly rub off on you. And I think that's what we all are. We're all pieces of chalk, and our personality is the chalkboard, and everybody can rub off the same amount.
Absolutely. And, Vinny, I wanted to thank you for putting me on today, and continued success to you.
Okay. And finally, with the audience of Coast to Coast, I think that what really needs to happen now in the alternative media field is people do really need to band together with the common purpose of simply getting the truth out. You know, it's not about something as simple as money or the amount of listeners. It's about getting the truth out, getting strange things out there that make people think, that make people wake up. Something that's a life-changing experience, as any conversation can wind up being, is something that needs to be brought to the world. Because in this day and age, we've had so much mass media, so much mind control, so much misinformation, that people get confused as to what is really valuable in life.
No, there's no question about that, Vinny. None at all.
I think that, of course, when we talk about the value of human life, though, it's our families. And then a lot of people experience this, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, George, that when they wake up to things such as the New World Order and fluoride in the water and chemtrails, they get demonized by the very people that are closest to them, their own families, and they get called conspiracy theorists, and they don't get invited to Christmas anymore, and things of that nature. Of it's a hard life trying to know the truth. What would your advice be for somebody who experiences that type of hardship with their family members?
Well, but my advice would be, of course, always to just keep positive about life, because no matter what you do, you're going to go through hardships. You're going to go through moments that you just think you've been given the wrong card in a deck. And you've got to fight your way through that. And it's called living. It's called being human. And you know what? I practice it every day. I'm sure you do too. And, you know, the simple recommendation to anybody on this planet, just stay above the water. Vinny, thanks.
Yeah.
I've got to run. I'm on the air in about 10 seconds on another show.
Got to
go. Okay, be well, my friend.
If
Bye-bye.
You ever want to know what's going on in New Zealand, just give me a call. Thanks,
it.
George.
Thanks.
See you, man. All right, there he goes. George Norrie, ladies and gentlemen. Silent applause and crowd roar, please. Cue. See, there you go. Isn't that fantastic? It seems to me that there's some people that will sort of inspire you to the point when nothing else, where it kind of eclipses everything else. And I find that those inspirational people are the ones that you kind of need to, you know, spend a little bit of time researching and look into them, have a look at the work that they've done over it, because nobody gets to be where they are out of nothing. Unless, of course, they're a U.S. president who winds up being a know-nothing from Arkansas or anywhere else and gets funded by banksters to come in and adopt a platform of change you can deceive in. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest was George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. You can check out the archives of that at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and also you'll be able to pick it up later on commercial-free at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. I'll be back in a moment. than ever, more than ever together. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Open lines, if you want to call in, there's a myriad of breaking news stories going down. An enormous pedophile cult has been exposed in the UK, and the guy who exposed it just last night has been sent to jail. Great activist over there named Bill Maloney, who exposed an even more insidious one earlier on that involved basically the leadership council of a small English village where the head constable and doctor and nurse and psychiatrist and all of that were all passing around a young girl by the name of Holly Greig, who suffered from Down syndrome. And now they need your help. So if you've got time, go to gorillamedia.co.nz and watch the video that's posted there. Man imprisoned for exposing UK pedophile rings used by the elite. And I'll just pop that into the chat room of the Vinnie Eastwood Show as well. Now, we talked about with George Norrie, and quite frankly, I've just got to be honest here. This is the best day of my life. Yeah, this is the coolest thing that I've ever done in my 26 years on this planet is have George Norrie on my show for more than an hour. That's kind of like one of those things that you'll look back on, and just keep on soldiering on. Really, it's good. It was great. Fabulous, and now it's past. And now I've got to go. And now I've got to go do more fabulous things, like expose pedophile cults. But there's also an awful lot of other stuff going on as well. The House Republicans have killed Denis Kucinich's withdrawal from Libya bill, apparently. So they're. You know what really just ticks me off about these types of news stories is that, well, they're true. That's the grand difficulty. You want your elected representatives who are supposed to represent you to actually represent you. You have to march in there and practically hold a gun to their head before they'll do anything in the public's best interest. It's beyond a joke. 402-237-2525, talking about your public officials there. And I just want to continue on with this. NATO and partners have just decided to extend our mission for Libya to another 90 days. And, of course, just like their war in Iraq, they extend it for like a month, and then 2 months, and then 6 months, and then 18 months, and then later on it's like fucking like 10 years as everybody dies. And all the depleted uranium just kind of gets washed into the troops' bloodstreams as they return home with frickin' Gulf War Syndrome 2.0. This decision sends a clear message to the Gaddafi regime. We're determined to continue our operation to protect the people of Libya by using depleted uranium weapons on them and blowing up massive compounds in residential districts to protect the people of Libya, who are among the highest, you know, living standards around that region, because Gaddafi, unlike most other enslaved nations on the earth, actually had a nationally owned bank, not a private bank, issuing its currency, and a nationally owned oil company that dispensed its profits amid the people for massive projects like building elaborate airports and huge irrigation networks and harnessing the power of their water aquifers, which are among the purest in the world, to grow food for his people. We can't allow people to do that. Let's bomb them, okay? Well, look, they're sharing money with people. Look, they're showing that countries don't need international banks and international oil companies to exploit their resources, inflate their currency, and make them more destitute through predatory bank loans. Okay? It becomes very, very suspicious when you know the truth. And I've talked to a few people about this Libyan crisis. Most people don't know those facts that I just spat out. And it instantly makes them understand the Libyan crisis. Hey, it's pretty straightforward. You can't have independence or freedom or self-sustainability in this world, mate. You have to be some description of slave to the New World Order. Otherwise, hey, they'll just take you out. Even if they're the ones that put you there, as was the case with Saddam Hussein, who was supported by the CIA and armed by none other than Donald Rumsfeld himself, who later on would go in to take the weapons back. Well, actually, technically, they didn't take the weapons back. It's when all, in the first Gulf War, when all the troops found out that there was made in the USA writings all over these chemical weapons bunkers and stuff that they found, and then they were ordered to blow them up so that this chemical dust sprayed around onto everybody and caused the first Gulf War syndrome. Okay? This is not the way that you conduct politics, diplomacy, or anything that will protect the people of Libya. Okay? When we talk about war, we talk about death and genocide, because there is none without the other. It is the same thing. Whenever I hear that my country's going to help peacekeep in East Timor, it seems to me that, hey, they're going to help go and suppress local people and kill others who may be resisting foreign troops on their soil. This is not the way to run the planet if you want to have any description of peace and civility. But because, well, in actual fact, everybody knows that this is not the way to run the planet. Everybody knows that the decisions that are being put forth in mainstream media and the rest of them a crapola. Now, we have a caller on the line here known as The Greek. And The Greek, you are on the air.
Vinny, all right.
Yeah,
got me on. Thank you. I think I'm beginning to qualify as a talk show addict, as myself here. This is twice in 2 days that I've called in to American Freedom here. But I do enjoy listening to your show because of just the attitude. I mean, the humor is just, I mean, come on, no one else has got it, you know? And if you told me George Nuri was on, I'll say, yeah, maybe, but Vinny's on, okay, let's have a good laugh, you know? I just called. I wanted to share a few thoughts with you, only because I hear people using these terms constantly, democracy and justice, you know, and typically when you hear those words, you think, okay, democracy, okay, that's, right ruling and justice is, you know, the rule of law, right? And then those words are used in a very positive light. And now I'm considered what you might call a word technologist. I go back to the etymology of what these words really mean. And when I found what these words really meant, I started to realize, man, I mean, people are lack discernment. Do they really know what they're saying? It's kind of like what the word actually means and how you use it sometimes denote, you know, different things. Like if we went back 100 years and say that was cool, people would say, what does that have to do with temperature, you know? So before, you know, I belabor the point or anything, we look at the word democracy. I mean, I hear everyone using that. And I hear everyone using justice. Let's just do a quick roundabout on what these words really mean. Democracy is a Greek word. Demos and krasi. Krasi is the suffix. Krasi means a governing state or a body, typically a state. Now, demo or demos, if you want to do some research on your own, look up the moons of Mars. Mars has two moons, Phobos and Deimos. And Phobos means fear, and Deimos means terror. So Deimos means terror, and Krasi means state. So if you've been watching the news lately, you can see that it's clearly shown us to be such.
Wow.
That's a shocker to some people, but you don't have to do a lot of research. Anyone that's into astronomy will clearly see Phobos and Deimos, the moons of Mars, fear and terror. So you have, if you want democracy, what you're really asking for is a terror state. Now, just like if someone says, you know, my kid's this, my kid's that, I'm like, oh, do you have goats? You mean goats? And he says, well, no, you know what I mean. You know, kids are goats. No matter, you know, you may not use it that way, but a kid is a goat, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we don't say what we mean, and we don't mean what we say. Now, you know, this is very easy. I mean, in fourth grade to eighth grade, literary abilities, you'll be able to uncover what I'm saying as being true. Now,
well,
I want to go forward. Go ahead.
It sounds exactly right, and you know, you've just wised me up to something, because I always thought democracy was a cross between the words demolition and hypocrisy, because it's basically just going to demolish your state and fill it with nothing but hypocrisy.
Right. Well, you know, look, even if you go study history that you get, right, in the democratic states of when Greece went democratic, it was a 99% slave society. It's just right there in Wikipedia, you know, 90% minimum slaves. So, I mean,
Were you talking about the United States or New Zealand or Greece back in the day?
No, Greece.
We are a 99% slave society.
Yeah, exactly. So no one's studying what this word democracy. You see, I want to also cover justice a little bit. This is, I don't know, tell me when you've recovered from democracy, and I'll go to justice for you.
Well, the justice system, or in other words, the just us system, because it enforces the laws for only one group of society, basically psychopathic legislators.
Okay, well, all right, let's go to the etymology. Let's look at the technical aspect of that. Justice, you can go on a Wikipedia, I'm not plugging them, you can go anywhere and look. Justice has to do with the concept of law. What it is in reality, it's a Roman term of justitia, and going back to the Greeks, it was a dike. And then you can trace it back to Themis in Rome, and also all the way back to early Babylonian times. It is a statue of a woman. She's not blind, but she's blindfolded, and she carries scales and a sword at her side. This is an ancient ritualistic goddess, okay? Has nothing to do with law, never did, never will.
Well, isn't
and
it
she
like
has
some
priests,
description
and she
of
has a technical order,
a
religious order. Now, obviously, that's the order of law in modern society. And, you know, for those that have read the Bible, of course, you know, there's this, you know, Babylonian thing, whatever, that deals with all the nations, okay, without going there. But if you look on, again, Wikipedia's got a great page where they show about 27 different countries that have this statue called Justice or Justicia or Themis. It's also called Columbia. Columbia Pictures has the woman holding the torch, the Statue
Columbia
of Liberty.
University, the District of Columbia.
Yes, it's because she's also known as Columbia. Now, you know, when you tell this to people, you know, and that they're not thinkers, they'll say, oh, you're anti-feminine. Well, no, I'm not. Look, I just found out my house was burglarized, and we caught the burglar, pulled the mask off, and it's a woman. Well, if I say the burglar happened to be a woman, am I anti-feminine? No, this particular thief just happened to be a woman. I'm not anti-feminine.
Just
so happens to be. You see? So people are not thinking. We lack discernment as a society, and I'm talking about, like, you pretty much encompassing the entire Western civilization has lost their mind.
You are 100% on the money. That people really have lost their mind. And it's not because they misplaced it or something. I believe it was because it was taken from them.
Yeah, let's put the leaders aside. You see, let's put them aside. Okay, here's another example. Okay, you go to a supermarket, and you buy a loaf of bread. You know, most people buy, I don't, but most people go, and they go to their, you know, large, you know, corporate markets, and they buy a loaf of bread wrapped in plastic, neatly sliced, right? Well, if you take that package and you read the ingredients on it, you'll see, you know, things like propylene glycol, which is antifreeze, and calcium carbonate, which is plaster, and all these other chemicals that if you went to an EPA and you dropped any of those chemicals on the sidewalk, that's a class 2 hazard, $5,000 fine. Okay, now hold on. This is where I'm trying to get to. These companies that are making these alleged, you know, bread that people buy and eat, this food, do you think they can't make real bread with just wheat, flour, and a little bit of yeast and water and salt? Of course they can. Of course they can. This is a test. They put it out there just like you put a piece of cheese on a mousetrap. the test. Is he going to go for it? And the people are going for it. No one's putting a gun to anybody's head to eat junk.
It's funny you mentioned that. We had this conversation last night, Manuel Ryan, and we had this person commenting on one of my YouTube videos. You know, these real angry, violent language, kind of discriminating, etc. type of people that you get commenting on videos on YouTube, right? I'm sure you've experienced this.
Yeah, I stay away from arguments.
Yeah, well, you know, this probably a good idea. But me, for personally, I was so insulted at being called a communist and a tweed jacket-wearing university student who's never done anything. This is what this guy accused me of. Then I just basically let rip on him, and I just abused him and said that he was selling out the country, and it's because of scum like him that the evildoers survive, and et cetera, et cetera. It was basically a tirade. And I wondered to myself, have the gloves come off, or am I simply compromising my humanity? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
And welcome back, ladies and gents. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And also, welcome back to my very special caller, the Greek. And you've been telling me some very interesting things about words and numerology. And I was just wondering, how is it that you came to wake up to the whole sort of New World Order system and start to look deeper? Did something bad happen to you, like it does to many people? Or did you get woken up in a very interesting way?
Excellent question. Well, if I told you I'm just visiting this planet taking notes, you'd think you wouldn't believe it, so I won't say it. But I won't say it that way. But I just noticed at a young age no one was paying attention. And I started going through all kinds of different subjects. And obviously this seems to be, you know, the New World Order stuff, you know, and all that, you know, seems to be your topic. So, but you know, and I looked into that as well. But, I didn't quite make it my major pursuit. And I want to give you an example of how no one's paying attention. Okay. All right. You know, when you heat or cool your house, you know, the heat always goes to the ceiling and the cold always goes to the floor, whether you're heating or cooling. That means you've got a hot head and cold feet all year round, don't you? Now, when it's hot in the valley, you get in your car and you drive up to the top of the mountain where it's cold. Oh, wow. In nature, heat gets heavy and goes down and cold gets rarefied and it rises. Wow, so natural heat and artificial heat are moving opposite directions, and no one's paying attention. And trust me, if you raise your hand in class in physics and you bring this point up, they don't bring you to the front of the class. They say, well, wait a second, this guy's, we got a live one here. Do we invite him into the club, or do we beat him up with that club, right?
Mm.
And here's another thing real quick. Septem means seven, octo means eight, like octagon. Novum means nine, and decem, like decimal, means 10. So how do we get off calling December the 12th month when it's literally the 10th month? November is literally the 9th. We call it the 11th, and October is literally the 8th. We call it the 9th. We call it the 10th, and so on and so forth. That was set up deliberately that way. So when you raise your hand in class and say, wait a second, what's this anomaly? Say, oh, wait a second, we've got a live one. Just like, for example, when you take a multiple choice question test or exam in school, they'll ask a question, and they'll give you A, B, C, or D, and, you know, one of them should be correct, and the three are false deliberately, right? So you've got to pick the right one. So this whole existence in the Western world, and I say Western world because that's what I'm familiar with, mostly, is an exam, and everyone's picking all the wrong answers. Here's another thing. No one's paying attention, okay? We've got to go vote, right? Okay, fine. You're voting at an election. Wait a second. Voters don't elect. The electors elect. Ha! The joke's on you.
Oh.
You're not an elector, you're a voter. It says it right there, full disclosure. Please read the label. Caution, read before using.
Hey, well, that ties into a lot of things, and you're absolutely right. People don't read the warning labels on the things that they use. Like, for example, I got a Nokia cell phone, okay? says on the warning label, do not have within 2 centimeters of your skin at all times.
That's right.
Okay?
And fine print, though.
How are you supposed to use something
there.
You can't touch? and another thing, vaccines, okay? When the H1N1 swine flu fake vaccine came out, it said on the warning label, don't give to pregnant women. And then the government put on television, we recommend this for who? Oh, yeah, that's right. Pregnant women.
Gosh, and that's rectal bleeding.
Yeah, caution signs, ladies and gentlemen. You think that the only kind of caution signs and road marks in your life are going to be on the side of the road with a hexagon and red paint to tell you stop? There's a road washed out or something along those lines. No, there's somebody that washed that road out deliberately and is going to pick over your remains when you crash. Okay, they're going to take your jewelry, they're going to take your children, etc., etc. That's what happens when you don't pay effing attention.
Well, this is a mature audience, isn't it? May I say something?
Oh well, we're not allowed to use swear words of any kind. But
no, I won't. I won't. This is the real motto. This is the real motto for the New World Order. If spit ain't good enough, it ain't real love.
Yeah.
On you.
But it's just the whole disgusting debauch nature of it, isn't it? And, you know, it's good that we can laugh about it, because if you don't laugh, you will cry and or go friggin' nuts. As I keep saying, repeating it like some kind of a mantra, and I'm wondering, am I brainwashing myself by attempting to laugh at all these kind of things, or am I struggling desperately to remain sane in an insane environment?
Well, you see, everyone's complaining about the leaders, but the leaders are merely a reflection of the people. I know this will get me in big trouble, right? Because now that it's a vicious cycle. See, if someone tells you don't stress, it's bad for your health, and you take it to heart, and you're a hypochondriac, let's say, and you find yourself stressing a little, now you're going to be stressed about stressing. That's a vicious circle. And anyone who sets up amplifiers and stage equipment knows that feedback is death to an amplifier and the entire audio system, right? So they're setting up these endless loops of feedback, and no one's, like, just pulling the plug for a minute, to stop the feedback, you know?
Well, you know what? And I think feedback ruins the performance. That's what people are really trying to do. They're trying to ruin our frickin' performance, okay? We're the big, gosh,
feedback will blow up you. Feedback will blow up your equipment. Really quick. If you let it go long enough. But by the way, what do you think of those? I dropped a couple of bombshells on you, and you know, about what the actual word. Please, look these things up. Don't believe me. What democracy? The root word, not the usage. The root word of what justice really is, not what we're being told. You know, why does natural hot and cold go move in the opposite direction? And what's going on with the calendar? You see, if you actually look these things up, what you're doing is like just going into the gym. The first day, it's like, you know, you put 40 pounds on the barbell, you can barely press it. But if you keep going to the gym, eventually you'll be able to do hundreds of pounds. So I tell people, don't try to jump in right away. You know, just go a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time, and actually look at what's being disclosed to you. You see? Just like the voting thing. I tell so many people, you know, are you going to vote? I'm like, does it matter? If I can get set up as an elector, maybe. Or what do you mean? You know? Well, they're telling you it's an election, and it's done by electors. This guy was elected. You're voting. You're casting your vote. You know, it's like, it's fully disclosed. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, what do you think about the Roots study and how we're not really meaning what we're saying and saying what we're meaning? What do you think about that?
Well, essentially, it's an occult practice. Now, the word occult means basically just secret knowledge.
More
or less what happens is that the elite know how to use this language, and so it's a big joke to them. They laugh about it because they don't realize that under Freemasonry, any word can have up to 7 different meanings, okay? So meanwhile, people are laughing at them, and it's what the Rhodes Institute, or rather Cecil Rhodes when he died and left his will, they came up with a way of conspiring that was very, very difficult to crack. It's called a ring within a ring within a ring. So yes. at the top you have one or two people who control the whole thing, and then you have their special advisors, and then another ring, and then another and another, and eventually these groups get much larger, but none of the groups are aware that there's even a ring above them. Okay.
Well, that's
how you keep such monstrous secrets, such as election and voter fraud, and our Lord and Savior, President Barack H. O'Barry, change you can deceive in, change you can beg for. You know, a Kenyan-born usurper gets in the White House because of the ring within a ring within a ring, and you don't realize it because you ain't even anywhere near one of the outer rings, let alone inside them.
Well, 99% of us are at the bottom of that pyramid, and they're at the top, and then they have the buffer zone known as the police, the military, and the academics in the middle as a buffer zone. See, the academics were just set up to entertain the aristocrats and also to provide a buffer zone, because if they wanted to purvey a theory and you found out the truth and you started rambling about it, well, they'll discredit you. You don't have a university degree. You're not a professor. Shut up. You see?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Paradigm. Unless you think through our mode of thinking, you can't think.
Yes, it's a buffer zone. It's the academics are so funny. You run into an academic. Look, when I walk down to the university here, the professors see me, they cross the street. They don't even want to talk to me. Because every one of them, I've run into, well, whichever professor or academic I run into, I say, look, a rooster lands on the ridge of a roof and lays an egg. Which side of the roof does it roll off of? Every single one of them say, well, we don't know. It depends on the wind. Depends on the slope of the roof. I'm like, if you're addressing that, you're a fool, because roosters don't lay eggs. Ha, 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 ha. And they all fail it. If I go down the street to the local car mechanic or the guy sweeping the street or someone, they say, what are you talking about, man? Roosters don't lay eggs. But every academic has failed at, because they're not taught to think. They're taught to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Kindergarten...
What comes out of their mouths aren't thoughts. They're not postulations. They're regurgitations.
Well, look, the joke is on the people again. They're going and paying thousands and thousands in tuition fees, okay? And for theories, proper science is you have a hypothesis, and a theory. Then you do the experiment, you have a conclusion. Hey, listen, I've got a theoretical lunch I'm going to take you to. How does that sound? Doesn't work. You got to have the real... You see, so they're teaching all these things. Who cares? Listen, they tell me this theory. I'm like, look, when you come up with a conclusion, come share it with me. You know? And here's the thing. Have you ever read a master's degree diploma or a bachelor's degree diploma? It's a joke. It says the trustees of the university, in their opinion, recommend that such and such person get a degree. Now, what is an opinion? And what's a recommendation? Nothing.
Let's put your hand up, ladies and gentlemen, and vote on something about whether or not it's fact, instead of weighing up the evidence. I'd like to thank you very much, man, for calling in the show. You've certainly carried it for the last two segments of my pitiful excuse for a truther show, but thanks, man. And we'll see you again later, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, check out the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and our fabulous archives. Bye-bye.